Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Thursday, March 29th, 2019 at 10 a.m. We would like to call to order this meeting of the Accessibility Technical Advisory Committee. Let's begin by calling roll to confirm our quorum, and please answer by saying here. Jeff Gross?
Here.
Jack Humberg? Sharon McNarty?
Here.
Barbara Page?
Here.
Jim Woollihand?
Here.
Brad Schiffer?
Come on.
Fred Schilling?
Not here.
Larry Schneider?
Present.
Diana Worrall?
Here. I'm here.
Thank you. And Jack Humberg, have you joined the line? Okay, Mr. Humberg will not be with us today. We do have a quorum. I will remind everyone to please be mindful of any background noise going on around you, as it does amplify on the intercom during our teleconference. Next, we would like to approve the agenda with a motion, please.
Schiffer moved.
Second with Schilling.
Schiffer and Schilling, all those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? We'd like to introduce the staff in the room today. I'm Marlita Peters, and I'll help facilitate your meeting.
Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Tom Campbell.
Chip Sellers.
Jim Hammers.
Thank you. Do we have anyone on the line that would like to be recognized?
Chris?
Thank you. Hearing none. We'll move ahead to approve the previous minutes of Thursday, March the 14th, if there are no changes or alterations.
So moved, Schilling.
Sir, we'll second.
Schilling and Schiffer?
I believe so.
All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Now we would like to...
Marlita, this is Chris. You guys couldn't hear me. Can you hear me now?
I do hear you, Chris. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Mr. Perry Leibowitz, do we have you on the line?
Yes, President. I'm joined with Scott Richards, another project manager here at the Survey Research Center. How are you all doing?
Fine. Scott Richards was his name, please.
That's correct.
Huh?
Have you logged into the webinar yet, Mr. Leibowitz?
Yes, I have logged in.
Are you logged in as Mr. Richards? We're looking for your name on there. We will
I think it's USSRC.
Okay, we found it. Thank you. What we're here today to discuss is to review and accept the interim draft report for this research project, Semi-Structured Interviews Investigating the Need to Adjust Current Bed Height and Universal Changing Table Regulations. Mr. Madani?
Yeah, good morning. This is Mo Madani. As part of this year's research program, the University of Florida is conducting a study for the purpose of conducting a survey mainly to involve interviewing and investigating the need to adjust current bed height and universal changing table regulation. And UF is on the line with us to give us the status of the project. Thank you.
Mr. Leibowitz?
All right. So I do have a PowerPoint presentation prepared. I think the pop-up window that I haven't used since before.
We're trying to give you control at the moment.
All right.
Okay, you have it. We're not seeing it, though.
Okay, how about now?
There you go.
No.
We don't see it. Hold on, I'm going to get you over there.
It's here.
Look at that.
Okay.
Okay.
We can see clearly, sir.
All right, fantastic. So, if you guys have any questions, feel free to interrupt me while I'm talking, and I'll get back into the presentation.
Excuse me.
Mr. Shipper.
Sorry, Mr.
President. Mr. Leibowitz.
I do not see it. I see something that says December 31st.
You should be seeing a UF.
I clicked onto the webinar.
Are you clicked onto the webinar, Mr. Schiffer?
I am.
The original agenda and click the link.
Have you clicked the link on the original agenda?
Yes, I did, and I saw it flash, and then it went off. So
maybe you need to log back in, sir.
Yeah, I'll do that. I can still hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Leibowitz. Please go ahead, and thank you.
So, current ADA regulations don't have any technical specifications for beds and hotel rooms. And so, trending right now, we're seeing that bed heights are higher than they used to be by a few inches, and this is proving to be a problem for the differently able community. Likewise, restrooms in public places are not serving the needs of the non-ambulatory and the people with other self-care issues, their caretakers. So, powered height adjustable adult changing tables would be a solution for these people to help improve their quality of life, and while also helping out people that currently use the infant changing table, toddler changing table that myself use on a weekly basis.
I can't understand. There's a lot of static or blurring or something. I just can't understand hardly anything that's being said.
I'll move a little closer to our microphone. But is anybody, are people generally able to hear us, or is there a general problem with the sound fidelity?
There's an echo in the back.
I can hear now.
I'm moving a little closer to the microphone. Hopefully that helps.
Thank you.
So, Mogadani approached us, and we have the framework for the study will be 20 semi-structured telephone interviews about the bed height topic, and then 40 semi-structured telephone interviews about universal changing tables across the state and people's trying to gather personal experiences and life stories to bring to the legislature eventually and help inform and change the present code. So back in October 2018, we started to talk to several organizations provided to us by, I think, Diana Worrell and Sabrina Kimball, trying to gauge the interest of sharing their member list and contact information with us to help facilitate interviews with this population. So, with a goal of up to 20 interviews for the bed height and 40 interviews for the changing table, we've spoken with a good number of them. Generally, they're supportive of the concept. So we found when we reached back out with them about a month or so ago, they've been more reluctant to give us access to their members' contact information. So we've spoken with the Family Cafe and Independent Living Council. They've been the most receptive. And what they've agreed to do is basically send out email invitations for us. And Family Cafe has over 9,000 members. I spoke with Lauren there. She's waiting for me to get her to go ahead and send an email inviting their members to schedule an appointment with us for us to speak with them. the Independent Living Council. I spoke with Beth. She was out of the office for a little bit, but I did get a chance to speak with her earlier this week, I believe. And she has, she mentioned that she has quite a network of individuals across the state that she will help expand our attempt to interview as many people as we can to reach the goal of the interview process. So earlier we received approval from our Institutional Review Board, which is a pretty important process that gives us the go-ahead to begin the data collection portion of the project. And every project, every research project at the university had to be approved through this board. So we have that in hand, and we have the go-ahead to move forward. So one thing that wasn't included in the interim report, but that I realized helpful, is we have access to a program called Qualtrics, which is it's a survey software, basically. But we could use it as a web tool to include with our recruitment emails that the Family Cafe and the Independent Living Council sends out to help schedule appointments and collect contact information, determine eligibility of the people that we want to speak with. And that would definitely help the organizational process of not having 10,000 people trying to call our 1-800 contact or 1-800 phone number all at one time. Are there any questions yet?
Can you show the slide presentation on the homepage?
I'm sorry.
Hey, Barry, this is Mohamedani. Are you planning to show the slides of your presentation? Because only what we're seeing is the first page, and there's no slides.
Oh, I've been moving forward. I thought that it was sharing. For example, the slide listed on page right now, we see starts with specifications as the header.
No,
what are you seeing?
It didn't come up. I thought you were just talking, and you're going to start the presentation shortly.
We're well into it. I'm sorry about that. Our indications say that the GoToMeeting app is sharing a window.
Your software is not running. Hit F5, that could solve it.
We're only seeing the very first introductory slide. We haven't seen any other slides.
Our apologies. We have no idea. We'll see if we can do something about that.
Now I've lost it totally. Am I the only one again?
Oops.
31st.
Brad, there's something.
Advisory, advisory.
My show.
Pardon me?
So I tried to stop sharing our screen in an attempt to...
Mine just says Accessibility Advisory Council. The whole presentation went away. Oops, something's coming back. There it is.
Okay.
Can we go back to the second slide, please?
Yeah.
Purpose.
Here we are.
Okay, now we see it.
But everyone...
Mr. Schiffer, are you seeing the slide?
No, I'm seeing, I went back like Diana, and the last time I had to totally shut everything off because it would have multiple, it says it's, the session's running. All I see is the initial GoToMeeting December 31st slide, so I don't know.
Perhaps you need to go back to the agenda. Log all the way out, pardon me, and go back to the agenda and log on through that avenue.
Yeah, that's how I've always been doing it. If but I do have to dump, so let me get a, go ahead, keep talking. I'll get another phone working, and then I'll, because it just cuts me off and I won't hear anything if I go back all the way out. Go ahead, let me get another line running.
Okay, sir. Mr. Leibowitz?
Why don't we give him a minute, because one of these surveys is his. I would not want to lose the main person.
This is Larry Schneider. Can we make some comments about this slide and the text that's on this slide?
Are you talking about the purpose slide?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Under your bed height regulations, again, this is Larry Schneider speaking, your second bullet point. I do not believe that this is resulting in once accessible rooms failing to meet the needs for people with mobility issues. Bed height, again, maybe I'm just looking at it from a different pair of glasses, but I don't see it as a mobility issue, it's a transfer issue. Also, under the universal changing table regulations, you're also saying that people can't use standard accessible restrooms. I think your global statement in your first bullet is non-correct. Also, your second bullet says power height adjustable adult changing table would positively impact that. So who said it has to be power activated? I think you're leading people with some of these statements. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sabrina Kimball, Universal Changing Places. I'd like to address what Mr. Schneider said. The reason we advocate for the power tables is because it makes it easier for transfers, for people to do a transfer. You can lower the table down to a height, a wheelchair height, and then you can raise it up to a more comfortable height or a safer height for the person providing the care. So that is why we advocate, just like people in Britain, for the powered height adjustable table.
We appreciate that, and we do recall having conversations with you a couple of years ago in regard to this issue.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we always state it that way, and that's why we advocate.
Thank you.
But I still think the utilization of a universal changing tables bullet one, the very first statement says people can't use standard accessible restrooms. This is a user that is a specific user. The restrooms are usable, accessible restrooms are used by 98% of the population who have disabilities. This is a unique and special use for a special need for that person with that concern. So to me, the global statement says you can't use a standard accessible restroom is not valid.
Mr. Leibowitz, would you like to continue your presentation?
Certainly.
Please, thank you.
So, did Brad make it back in?
Yeah, I can hear it. I'll try to bring it on, but that was me causing that Jimi Hendrix experience there earlier. let me try to behave. I'll try to speak back in. If not, I can listen to it.
Okay. So I'll go back to where we left off on the specifications. If you want to go back to review any of my previous slides, please let me know.
No, go ahead. All of a sudden it showed up. I'm good.
All right. So we're going to train our interviewers, because this is a little bit, this isn't our typical style survey. More of a discussion that we're going to have with our respondents, rather than a straightforward yes or no type survey. So we're going to train our interviewers to basically keep up with the respondent, move from topic to topic on what they're talking about, try to keep them talking, because that's the main data we're going for. what our respondents tell us about their personal experiences day-to-day life. So, and how they're affected by the current regulations. So we're going to call various times of the day. Once we have called them initially, they're going to tell us an appointment. They're going to make an appointment with us through this web tool. We're going to try to call them at that time of day. If they don't answer or realize they don't have time anymore, we will rotate the call through our sample management software. We hope that each survey will not exceed 15 minutes. We think that the questions should provide enough information for about a couple minutes each. Each respondent should live in Florida. That's our goal population. And they should be affected by the 5 bed height issues at hotels and or need a universal changing table when out in public. We will be leaving voicemails every 7 days with our toll-free phone number to call us back. And we anticipate sending the final report about a month after the field work with transcription and a summary of themes from our interviews. Are there any questions?
It's not a person.
So the final slide is have our 2 questionnaires on them. And these were included in the interim report that I sent to Mo. I'm not sure who all received this, but we will be introducing ourselves and going through the rights of the respondent. That's the IRG disclaimer here. We will ask them to introduce themselves and basically give us some background on their other situation as a kind of an icebreaker sort of thing. Then we'll start asking specifically, how much of a problem for you are the heights of beds when traveling? Ask for a specific example to get a little bit more detail. How does this make you feel? How helpful would it be to you if beds in hotels had a lower or adjustable height? And then we'll try to find out what type of things that they'd be able to do that they can't do. How their quality of life change. When choosing places to stay, do you consider certain places will have beds with lower height? How helpful or accommodating are hotels when you ask about beds with a lower height? What do you do if the height of the bed is too tall? Can you give me a specific example? How does it affect you or make you feel? Are there places or events that you are unable to participate in due to the lack of an accessible bed? I need to wait or change plans because they found out a bed was too tall. On all these questions, we're going to ask for more information. Please provide more detail. This way, we get a big full picture. We don't leave anything out. And we can get a good idea of how more issue is affecting this population. If hotels in Florida have more beds with a lower height, what types of people would benefit the most? And when traveling, how often do you encounter a bed height that is accessible? Do you think that is an adequate amount? So this is more of a discussion guide. We're not going to be asking these questions necessarily in this order. As I said, we'll be keeping up with the response. So the respondent might say that it would be helpful for them, might be talking about how helpful it would be to have a adjustable height bed. And in the process of that, they might find out what they do if the bed is too tall and jump from Q3 to Q5. So, Also, the discussion is not limited to these questions. Our interviewers will be trained to ask more follow-up questions, expand on what respondents are telling them, and be engaged and an active listener. So the conversation is connected to respondents in that conversation. Are there any questions about the bed height survey?
Yes, sir. This is Larry Schneider under, can you go to, I guess, the question 1RB1?
Was it IRB1?
Yes, that's it. Would you, on the qualifier, would you not say when traveling, was there a time versus is there a time? Again, it's, I'm just debating English language here with you.
Sure, that makes sense.
The same thing under 1RB2, the qualifier, that one too. It says when traveling, at least on the paperwork I've got, let's see if you've got it here.
We noticed that there are two versions of that question, had two instances, and We just deleted one of them. They're basically the same, but not as creating the questionnaire.
Under Q1, were you going to be asking by qualifying what their disability is? Would that be like a question?
We weren't going to ask explicitly, but we hoped that that would be something they shared.
I mean, I'm trying to think, because if you're talking to certain groups, certain people with certain disabilities, what you're really talking about is a mobility community versus visual or hearing.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole logic behind the bed issue. The other question, that's just a statement on that one. Are you going to ask, or would you consider asking, do you have a Hoya lift and do you travel with one?
Okay. Yeah, we can add that.
The only reason is because Florida talks about an open frame bed, and the logic behind that was that people would have a Hoya lift to do that transfer. So, hey, do you have one and do you use it and do you travel with it? So that was the thought process on that. And that's my questions as it relates to the high bed. Also, are you aware that in the 2017 ANSI A117.1, there is a section in those standards for bed frames and bed heights?
Yeah, we're aware. I believe that was in one of the documents that Mo sent us initially. The question is, are they needed to be revised? That's one of the things.
I'm just letting you know, on a national level, the ANSI committee in the 2017 standard has provided this information and for usability. And once that code gets adopted by local jurisdictions under the code, the bed height issue will be addressed, but not in Florida, since we don't use ANSI A117.1. It's more of an FYI.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Could I chime in on that as well? This is Diana Worrell.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, through the chair, Larry, I think part of the problem, though, is that although with ANSI there's a range that's specified, there's no means to reach those various levels specified. So, for example, if it were 17 to 25 inches, you'd set the bed at the hotel manager or whoever as 25 inches, you would be meeting the standard. Therein lies the problem.
Well, this is Larry Schneider responding through the chair. Again, the ANSI is a committee made up of lots of people, and it was consensus-based. And FYI, the numbers are 17 to 20 feet. And I'm just letting you know it's out there. There is no standard for beds, but there is now a standard that was agreed upon by a large group dealing with the state community on that. So I understand where you're coming from, Diane. I understand your concerns and the issue why we're doing this. All I'm trying to do is provide information to everyone here that this has been discussed on a national level, interpreted and provided as an information and a requirement under the 2017 ANSI standards. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm just letting you know it's there. It's a 17 to 23 inch range. It will become effective throughout the country once the new IBC gets adopted and if it's referencing the 2017 standard. That's all I'm trying to do is provide information.
Mm-hmm. On the report I saw on that, it did say 17 to 25, but perhaps I didn't read an updated one. The second thing for me is, this is to Dr. Pirowitz, I'm wondering if there could be a question in there somewhere about, do you feel it would be beneficial to have an adjustable height bed?
Yeah, we can definitely add that.
I think you have that in question three right now. Pre-scroll back to your number three. How helpful if those elves had a lower height? You got that question asked.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In question number one, I think it was number one. No, it was the first thing we looked at. It was up above that higher. Go up. Yeah, the IRB one is differently abled, not to be picky or anything, but I don't know that that term is the better term. I think if you just use people with disabilities, it might be better.
This Larry Schneider, through the chair, Diana, aren't we really talking about mobility impairment?
Yeah, but we're talking in a general sense about people with disabilities. A lot of them have, I mean, if you have somebody who's severely developmentally disabled, you know, or somebody who's extremely old or something like that, I don't know. I think the going term is people with disabilities, because that's who you're referring to.
And I appreciate it. That was the same question I have. I had no idea what a differently abled community is.
No, it's a condescending term that's not used, but I would prefer something else.
I would support that.
All right, I wasn't aware of that. I thought that that was the PC term, I guess, but we will take that. Okay, we are open to the committee's guidance on this and other issues, so please forward these suggestions.
Did you say that, I still was having trouble hearing you because of echoes and things, but did you say, Dr. Leibowitz, that the individuals with disabilities were going to have to contact you to make an appointment on the phone to talk to them?
I did. We are still working, trying to work with more organizations to access contact lists, but the ones we have spoken to that have agreed to participate with us have been unwilling to share that information.
Now, I'm wondering on related to the changing tables in particular, I think you might get people who were caregivers that would be more interested in answering the survey than some of the people who were using the changing table, but perhaps the lady, forgot your name, could address that.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please state your name before you're speaking, and we do need to allow everyone an opportunity to speak today. Ms. Oral, is that a question for Regina?
Yes, it's a chair.
Mm-hmm. Regina, Ms. Kimball, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am. No, my name's Sabrina. Sorry, I was late waiting for Regina.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
I do agree with Ms. Worrell that the care providers would be a good group to talk to because they're the ones that actually help and facilitate the transfers or don't get to travel or don't get to go to events because of lack of adult changing places. My one concern is because they're a new concept here in the state, they're not widely known that they're even available. Mr. Leibowitz, are your call providers going to be explaining to them what an adult changing table is, a powered height adjustable adult changing table, and what that is so that they can get the concept in their head? Most people understand a baby changing table. They don't really, they'll say, oh, we already have those. And I'll say, no, these are adults. They're large size changing tables that move up and down. Are you going to be explaining that to them so they kind of have a picture of what you're asking and what would be provided?
That way
they can kind of answer your questions and understand where these facilities might be or where they might be helpful to them.
This is Perry. We can add a definition explaining what an adult changing table is.
It is a new, a lot of people they don't even know they exist, you know, that they're even available. You know, we're the first state in the country to actually add them at our rest areas. We were the first place to add them at the Orlando International Airport. You know, so, I mean, it is a new concept, so that would be, I think, helpful.
Go ahead. This is Larry Schneider. I understand the concern of the organizations that don't want to give you their membership list or email contacts or stuff like that. Have you been in dialogue with them that potential they could post it on their website and for them send their own blast out to their members to say, here's something, please look at our website, and maybe that's another way of reaching out to see if they would like to participate?
Yeah, that's actually what they're going to do. They will be sending the emails and inviting them to participate.
Thank you.
They're not even sharing their email addresses with us.
Mr. Leibowitz, we have an online question. One moment.
Also, as an FYI, the ANSI ACE 117.1 committee included input from little people. The height of the bed affects that group of the population as much as those with mobility disabilities. Are there any representatives from that community going to take part in this survey?
Did you hear the question, sir?
I did. We're willing to reach out to them, though we don't have them yet.
And who's speaking, please?
This is Perry Leibowitz.
Thank you. And Mr. Leibowitz?
Madam Chair, this is...
One moment. Mr. Leibowitz,
have you...
Brad, one moment, please. Mr. Leibowitz, have you gone through all of the slides on your presentation?
No, he didn't.
The remaining thing to show on the presentation is the universal changing table questionnaire.
Okay.
It's very similar to this one, to the bed height. So if someone else wants to take back control, feel free.
That's okay. We'll get to that in just a moment. Brad, did you have a question on the current survey?
Yeah, and the question was, are we discussing changing tables now or the bed heights? I have some changing table comments. When that comes up, this is not the time.
Okay, one moment. Are there any other questions concerning the survey regarding the bed heights? Anyone from the public?
I have a question. I don't know if it's specific to exactly what you're saying, but...
Is this Diana Worrell?
In terms of... I'm sorry, it's Diana Worrell.
Thank you.
In terms of gathering information, one of the groups that you mentioned was a cafe. Get the last part of that.
Family cafe.
Yeah, family cafe, which apparently there's a very large conference that's going to be going on in early June, 7th, 8th, or something like that in Orlando. Is there any chance that you all can show up there and get people firsthand?
We actually hope to be wrapped up with data questions by then, because the sovereign process, I anticipate taking quite a bit of time to go through the transcription, and we have a June 30th deadline.
Also, this is not part of the research program or the project to really conduct these visits and all that. So we have to really stick with the scope of work of the project.
Yes, I understand. I just think they're going to have trouble getting enough participants. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding the bed height survey? Mr. Leibowitz, would you like to move to your second survey?
Certainly. So this is the Universal Changing Table Survey. It is the introduction process is pretty similar. We will change the differently abled to disabled communities and add a definition for what an adult changing table actually is. So I'll just skip over this, the top that is the same as bed height and go if you want. First, I'd like to ask you to tell us a little about yourself and why the last adult changing table was an important issue for you. Question two, how much of a problem is not having an accessible adult changing table when you are participating in society? Can you give me a specific example? How does this affect your relationship? How helpful would it be to you if public places had accessible adult changing tables available to use? What types of things would you be able to do? How would your quality of life change if they were more prevalent? Question four, when choosing things to do or places to go, do you consider certain places will have changing tables for adults? What things or places in particular? How helpful or accommodating when you ask about universal changing tables? Question five, what do you do if you have no access to a changing table? Can you give me a specific example? How does this affect you or make you feel? Question six, are there places or events that you are unable to participate in due to the lack of accessibility to an adult changing table? And have you delayed or changed plans because there were no adult changing tables? If four adult changing tables were installed in Florida, what types of people would benefit the most? And question eight, when you're participating in society, how often do you encounter an adult changing table accessible to you? Do you think that this is adequate? So, welcome any thoughts or questions to the changing table questionnaire.
Is there anyone?
This is Larry. This is Larry.
Okay.
The very question would be the very first question is asking them, have you ever heard of an adult, changing table? Because as 98% of us are aware of, to the best of our knowledge, it's not out there. So the question, to me, the very first question is, have you even heard of one of these?
The population should be affected by it, so chances are.
We can definitely add that in. We think that because the population will be affected by this, they should be aware of its existence, even if they personally haven't seen one in person.
Mr. Schiffer, I believe you have some questions on this.
Yes, I do. And I think one thing that's kind of missing in the changing table, a little bit mentioned earlier, is that the changing table is not just about the person with disability. It's really about the caregiver of that person. This is a two-person process. So I would think that I would like to see, anyway, in the purpose, that second paragraph discuss that, you know, the role of the caregiver and why these tables would be important for them. And I would also think that in the questionnaire where you say you, I think I would rather see you or a /caregiver, because it really is a question that should be asked by either or both. because the intent of these things is to make it easy for a caregiver. The saddest picture, I imagine, is two elderly couples, one that needs care, and yet here they are where the caregiver, the other part of the couple, is not strong enough to really do this, and they would be the major beneficiary of the table rather than sitting the person with disabilities on the floor of a accessible stall and then having to bend over or get down on their knees on the floor and provide this service. So again, I think when you ask people and you use the phrase you, I would recommend you and then a / caregiver, so it's clear that it's for both of them. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question online.
Gene Bacher asked, is the committee aware that California will be mandating adult changing tables beginning in 2020?
I think that was a question for the TAC.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the information.
Yes.
Thank you. Let's move on.
Mr. Leibowitz, do you have anything further on your presentation?
No, just to address Brad's comment about adding the caregiver test. We'll certainly add that in, but keep in mind that it's not going to be read exactly as it's written here, and our interviewers will be adapting to the specific scenario if we're speaking to the person that will be on the table or the caregiver helping them out.
Because I think in some cases, the person with a disability probably wouldn't answer these properly or wouldn't be. It's really for the benefit of somebody providing care to somebody of weight that they would have the ability. When Larry brought up the table height being adjustable, that's where that's really important. Obviously, the transfer from a chair is important, but really to adjust the table to the height of somebody who they themselves might be in a wheelchair providing this care. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else from the public with questions or comments regarding the presentation or the questionnaires? Hearing none, TAC members, back to you for discussion and a motion to accept the interim report.
This is Brad Schiffer. I would make a motion we accepted with the amendments that the committee proposed.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
This is Schilling, and I would second it just the way that Brad explained it.
Thank you. Any further discussion, TAC members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept with the amendments as stated, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That concludes our presentation for today. Do we have any further comments at this time? With no further comments, then we will take our final roll call. Please answer by saying here. Jeffrey Gross?
Here.
Sharon McNarty?
Here.
Barbara Page?
Here.
Jim Willihan?
Here.
Brad Schiffer?
Still on.
Fred Schilling?
Yes, I'm here.
Larry Schneider? Diana Woroff?
Here.
Larry, did you hear the comment or answer roll call? Okay, he's left the line. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our meeting today. It is 10:49. Have a good day and happy weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Hey, bye-bye.